This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House Oversight Committee subpoenaing the Justice Department for more files in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche also weighing whether to release transcripts from his conversation with convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's close confidant. High-level talks happening at the Kremlin on ending the war in Ukraine. ABC's Guy Davies has more from the Foreign Desk.
U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff has met with Russian President Vladimir Putin this morning. The pair was seen smiling and shaking hands. This is Witkoff's fifth visit to the Kremlin as the U.S. tries to secure a ceasefire in Ukraine. This Friday marks the deadline President Trump has set for Russia to end the war, threatening secondary tariffs and possible sanctions if Russia does not comply.
The Health and Human Services Department is canceling contracts and pulling funding for vaccines that are developed for respiratory illnesses like COVID and the flu. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a longtime vaccine skeptic, says vaccines that use mRNA technology will be halted. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Gas prices are ticking up in the Midwest, but they could be coming down again soon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead.
After holding steady at about $2.92 per gallon for several weeks, La Crosse gas prices briefly jumped above $3 per gallon and are now around $2.96, just above the statewide average. The city's Judiciary and Administration Committee met Tuesday night and voted to approve recommending new drinking fountains around La Crosse, but did not forward a motion to preserve the existing green bubblers, which have been turned off since the start of the year due to a lack of accessibility. The committee also recommended an ordinance to restrict the sale of hemp-derived cannabinoids to people ages 21 and over. On Thursday, the Finance and Personnel Committee meets to go over several airport-related items and the city's collective bargaining agreements. Hot and humid conditions begin to return today. Highs will top out in the mid-80s in western Wisconsin, with dew points climbing into the mid to upper 60s by midnight. Tomorrow, in addition to temps back in the mid 80s, it'll be more humid too, with dew points north of 70 degrees. The spike in air moisture also brings with it a chance of scattered showers. Friday will be hot and sticky, with highs in the 90s and heat index values approaching triple digits. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers take on the Braves for game three of their series in Atlanta. The Brewers with a 7-2 victory last night, their fifth win in a row. Pat Murphy.
You really have to be disciplined right now. More than ever before, we got to be disciplined. It's how we play and the mindset we're in when we play, because circumstances say ball could have bounced the other way and we're not, those numbers aren't there. You know, you have to just be consistent in how you prepare and be attached to your process, not your results.
NFL, he's slated to be their starting defensive back to replace Jair Alexander, but Nate Hobbs will miss all of the preseason games after having knee surgery over the weekend. It happened last Thursday in practice.
I'm just happy that it wasn't nothing more serious.
Was it meniscus?
That was a meniscus.
Okay, and right knee, I assume.
Right knee, yes, sir. I'm committed, as I say I am.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. Scattered showers and storms tonight, lows around 67. Chance of showers and storms on your Thursday could pick up some heavier rain at times, highs near 86. Friday, sunny and a high near 92 degrees. Currently, 66 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 6th, 2025. It's a beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us by podcast, social media, however you got here. Appreciate your watching, even jumping into the comment section. Tony, right out of the gate. Pat. I'm hoping that's a cheer and I'm not being chided for something here. But thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. I got a question for Parker Olson, who produces this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Here's my question for you. Are you tired of talking about the Brewers yet?
No. No, I'm not.
The correct answer is no. Five games in a row. The current winning streak is five. And I love being able to say that. The current winning streak is five.
It's just so, it happens so often now.
I know. It's really nice. We'll get into their latest win over Atlanta coming up in just a bit. How are things in Madison? Are they a little hazy or foggy there like they are here? I think it's more haze than fog.
Honestly, yeah. I'm not really sure. It was too dark for me to really tell when I was
coming. Oh, you know what?
In.
It is absolutely that time again. Yeah. I noticed it this morning where it's like, you know, now again, by now it's 6:08, you know, it's light out, but you know, now but not 5:30.
No.
Still
not very light at all. No, and I will say I did go through a pretty big like patch of fog and I thought my windshield was like fogging up. You know, when the temperature in the car isn't quite right, whatever.
Yep.
I was confused.
Well, it makes sense because that whole Madison area, I mean, we talk about the isthmus and the two lakes on either side. If you were to restore it to its natural state, it would all be swampland down there by and large. And that's the way it was sold. If anybody's never looked into the real story of how Madison came to be the capital of Wisconsin, that it was basically one big corrupt land deal. That the guy that owned, you know, most of the land on the isthmus, like, sold each of the legislators a bill of goods, promised them property and everything. And, yeah, eventually it all got cleared out. Eventually it looks really nice now.
Yeah.
But it was – it's an interesting story. Yeah, you really want to read through that sometime. But because of that, you know, it being in the lowlands there, you definitely get those patches of fog. You know, one of my favorite plane rides was actually a short plane ride from Minneapolis to Chicago or vice versa, flying over Wisconsin, and it was one of those very early morning flights. And you know how when you're in a fog bank, I mean, you just feel like it goes on forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like you're just enveloped by it. If you ever get a chance to see fog from up high like that, and I don't know where that flight is. Let's say it's 20,000 feet up, whatever it is. And you just see the patches of fog. Now, the patch, again, will be large enough for like an entire, say, small city that might be in a river valley or something like that. But then there's no fog for a while. And then there's another patch in some more low-lying areas. And it is just, it's beautiful from up high, but you can just see how the people in each one of those little foggy blobs are thinking, oh my God, it must be foggy everywhere. Nope, just you.
That is a weird concept to me, is that weather is different in different places.
Well, and in short order, you know.
Yeah.
And especially something like fog, where, you know, the low-lying stuff, you know, really does depend on where you are at any given point in time here. So, yeah, it was a little foggy this morning. Not as smoky. We've got a south wind a-blowing right now. Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state says that the wildfire smoke continues to clear as another system moves closer, dragging in the heat and humidity behind it. Active weather will start up again, she says, as we head toward the weekend. So for today, increasing cloudiness and a chance for drizzle. Highs today statewide in the low to mid 80s, a south wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers are possible late. A low tonight in the low to mid 60s, and a southeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Now, the rain, Parker, is going to be welcomed, I think, by a lot of folks. You know, light rain, not the flash flooding kind. I noticed yesterday in the farm field across from us, they've got one of those big, you know, irrigation sprinkler systems for the fields. And it was turned on for the first time this year, this season for us. And it, you know, does what it does. It's quite the little marvel there, how you can water, you know, an entire massive cornfield and get it all done. And I want to make clear that what I'm about to say did not happen yesterday. But have you ever passed by those big farm irrigation systems and they kind of overshot the runway? And if you're driving past them and you happen to have a convertible or a motorcycle or something, you get a free car wash. You ever drive through one of those?
I don't think I have, although I 100% can see that happening, and that being way more water than I would want on my car.
Yeah.
for a brief moment.
Again, if your car's all closed up, it's kind of funny. It's like, oh, the, you know, like any other neighbor whose sprinkler is again, overshooting its mark. But when it's one of those big farm ones, that's a lot of water coming out at once. Yeah. And hopefully these don't have to get used too often. Hopefully we get back to some more balanced precipitation. But I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'd just seen the latest crop progress reports. And I mean, as you can imagine, things are growing like crazy here.
Yeah, it's been raining, you know. You know, this morning, I love watermelon. I didn't realize how much I love watermelon.
Well, that is random. Okay, go ahead and tie that back to this. Go for it. Okay.
Farm. I don't know. They're growing. All right. Yeah, that's all I got for you. That's the segue. But I took four pieces of watermelon this morning.
The trees, the landscaping, the grass, but I mean the crops as well. This has been an amazing growing season. The balance between the rain that we got earlier and then, you know, the sunshine, the warm temperatures and everything. It is, to this point, I hasten to say, looking like it's going to be a great season. Now, again, you know, other things can happen, heat, hail, given all that. But, boy, things are looking beautiful out there. I mean, pretty much all of the second crop of hay is in. So about half of the third crop of hay is getting done by a lot of farmers out there. The corn is coming together nicely. And I'm saying all these things that maybe you just heard in the last hour. Maybe you're at one of the civic media stations that has the Midwest Farm Report from 5 to 6 a.m. If not, stick around, because the short version of the Midwest Farm Report is coming up in just under 20 minutes here. But let's get back to the Brewers. Their win last night over Atlanta, the final score was 7-2. In winning, the team extended its current winning streak to 5 games. They still have Major League Baseball's best record. They now lead the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central Division by 3 games. And that feels nice. When I asked, are you tired of hearing about the Brewers yet? Roger jumped right up on Facebook. Here's his answer. Nope. I was listening to a replay to a Chicago radio sports show, and those hosts were vicious to the Cubs. He also adds, listening to you, he put in another comment quickly. Roger says, I could eat watermelon forever.
Yeah.
So there you go, Parker. See? You got
It's not company. That random.
Do you put anything on your watermelon? I do sprinkle a little salt on mine.
I used to. I don't anymore. I used to do a little bit of salt, but now I'm just going straight watermelon, and I'm very happy about it. The lowly Cubs.
Tony puts the lowly Cubs, you mean? Yes. Wow. Well, come on. They're in second place, and again, we still have plenty of baseball yet to go. I wish I'd have saved the clip. I have to go find it. We're going to play it again sometime. Yeah. But the clip from when he mentioned a Chicago radio, a Chicago sports talk station, the day the Brewers traded Savali to the White Sox and we got Andrew Vaughn.
They must have thought they fleeced us.
Oh, they just thought that seals the deal. They're winning the World Series. Well, not the White Sox, but that they did not like Andrew Vaughn. It was clear they were not a fan. They were happy to get Aaron Savali. They thought the Brewers were so getting the short end of the stick on this. I have to find that clip at some point and play it. Andrew Vaughn singled in two of those runs yesterday. His current hitting streak is now at 11 games.
Of course.
Matching the longest of his career. Freddie Peralta allowed only one run and four hits over five innings of work. And then there's Isaac Collins, who we now have to introduce as National League Rookie of the Year candidate. Isaac Collins drove in two more runs on two hits.
I thought, like a month ago, I was thinking, man, maybe Caleb Durbin can be the Rookie of the Year.
Uh-huh.
Like, now I'm like, maybe it could be Isaac Collins. If Mizorowski stays healthy and gets to play all the year, maybe it could be him. I don't know. There's so many good guys that are so young, which has been a theme for the last, I don't know, 4 years now for the Brewers. It's been like after rookie.
It's been really great, especially when you consider that the roster looks a lot different now than the way that the season began. That's okay. Jose Quintana is going to start game three against Atlanta tonight. Once again, pregame begins at 5:40 this evening on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Hayward, and Park Falls. Then tomorrow is a travel day for the Brewers. They come back home, and they'll have a weekend series against the New York Mets. That should be a very good one as well.
Go meet the Mets. I will say, I hope that pitching does not... I don't know how much of the game you watched last night, Pat, but that...
Watched a good part of it with rain throughout it all.
Yeah,
I was surprised they kept playing.
Yeah, I will say that might have been the most painful win that the Brewers have had in a while, just because the pitching was just... It was such a grind. Freddie Peralta, I love you, man. Good God, just throw strikes.
I know. He works harder than you'd want him to.
Yes.
And it the fact that he still made it through five innings is a pretty good thing. I mean,
yeah.
Again, old man alert here. I remember when complete games were like the expectation.
Yeah.
You were supposed to pitch nine innings. Your arm hasn't fallen off. You're fine, you know.
Well, they used to be more efficient anyway.
Yeah. Now, look, a lot of people very happy that Freddie Peralta got through five innings. I'm just saying my natural bias is if a starting pitcher does anything less than six innings, there's something wrong. But now we refer to six innings as a quality start.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope for 5-4. I'm like, all right, sure.
Yeah, yep. Let's tell you what else is coming up on the program today. Look, we're going to talk about Ed Preen again, who was on the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board a couple years back and then stayed well past his term. What he and Scott Walker and legislative Republicans did back then to sabotage the Natural Resources Board, that was not politics as usual. It was conduct that should disqualify people from ever being entrusted by voters with elected or appointed offices again. And we're going to have an update on a lawsuit over text messages that led some of Walker's appointees to stay in place after their terms had expired, simply to obstruct appointments from Governor Tony Evers. In our homeroom segment, we're going to talk to leaders in Green Bay about what they did and how you can follow their lead in your hometown and push for better taxpayer transparency when it comes to the true cost of voucher schools and your property tax bill. It is also our climate check day with Melissa Baldoff. We'll have a guest, Casey Hicks of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. That's because Donald Trump's Environmental Protection Agency, and I got to put protection in quotation marks now, has rescinded a landmark policy acknowledgement that man-made pollution from fossil fuels is a danger to human health. And we'll check in with James Kelly, Jimmy Koska, Earl Ingram, and of course, Melissa Kay to see how Lilu the Pigeon is doing. It's all coming to you from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may think racial gerrymandering happened long ago and just in southern states with legacies of suppressing African Americans. Think again. Anti-voter legislatures around the country still employ racial gerrymandering to retain political power. In addition to recent racial gerrymandering cases involving African Americans in Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, there have been multiple racial gerrymandering complaints from Native Americans in North Dakota and Hispanic Americans in Washington State and Texas. To provide equity and representation, the Voting Rights Act Section 2 allows districts of dense populations of minority voters to choose the candidate of their choice, but elected officials continue to evade those rules. South Carolina's legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district. In the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. Louisiana's population is almost 33% black, but Louisiana's legislature defiantly drew only one of its six congressional districts as a majority-minority black district, diluting the rest of their vote. A county in North Dakota elected its commissioners at large to reduce the chance of a Native American candidate being elected. Tomorrow, we'll tell you how some states prohibit gerrymandering and create fair maps. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can get our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. We've got newsletters that come out on weekdays and, of course, my Sunday morning one as well about Wisconsin politics. And let's see, Henry the intern tells us about a northern Wisconsin bear rescued from a jar mishap. You might have heard us talking about that recently with Jimmy Koska. I think James Kelly's going to mention it as well, about a young black bear who had been roaming around Bayfield, Douglas, and Sawyer counties with its head stuck in a plastic jar. It is now safe and back in the wild. We've got that story in our newsletter. A story on how Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, the Eau Claire native, has gradually but radically helped transform downtown Eau Claire. Downtown Eau Claire looks amazing in a way that I would not have necessarily thought would happen if you'd have asked me 25 years ago. And Justin Vernon and others, to be sure, have been part of an amazing rebuilding of downtown Eau Claire. So we have that story in our newsletter. And then, if you missed our interview yesterday with the mayor of Superior, Jim Payne, well, we're going to play part of it back coming up here in less than 15 minutes. But also in our newsletter is a story about it, because you can also see an article on our website about how the city has found success building out its broadband network. How was it able to do that? Joe Biden and the American Rescue Plan. And that's always been the problem, is that we talk about these shovel-ready jobs. A lot of things aren't shovel-ready, but at least if you've got the plans in the works, you can make things happen faster than drawing things up from scratch. And Superior was ready. They just were in need of funding, and when the American Rescue Plan came along, the work was able to get done. You'll hear from Mayor Payne all about that coming up in just a bit. In national news, I was looking to give you an update on what's happening in Texas, where Republicans in the legislature are engaged in perhaps the most blatant corruption of the year, at least at the state level. in redrawing the maps mid-decade in order to add 5 Republican seats to Congress. As I'm looking at the New York Times here, I mean, it is, there's a story about California Democrats looking to redraw their House map, but not much there at all about the situation in Texas and calling out what is happening there. Instead, we get this story about the president of the United States. The headline is, "Up on the roof, Trump surveys the home he's making his own." Katie Rogers is the reporter, and the story starts like this. President Trump was on the roof. As a confused group of reporters assembled below him on Tuesday morning, Mr. Trump strolled around on top of the White House, occasionally stopping to take questions, but only to tell his audience he was taking a little walk in service of his latest home improvement project, a large ballroom. "It's just another way to spend my money for the country," Mr. Trump shouted. He was getting a bird's eye view of where the $200 million White House ballroom he has proposed building would go. And on it goes, just making it sound like, just another day in the Trump presidency. Now, I know the late night comedians talked about this last night, but I'm going to mention it as well. If Joe Biden were wandering up on the White House roof and muttering about building a $200 million ballroom next to it, what do you think the media coverage would be like about that? Similarly, if Joe Biden or if Barack and Michelle Obama had paved over the Rose Garden, you think we'd be hearing more about it than we are right now? Because that's what's there right now in the Rose Garden is basically a concrete slab. In both cases, the ballroom and the slab, so that the president can have more parties. There's real things to be done, like attacking the corruption in Texas. Listen to one of the Texas Democrats who'd left the state to hold off the gerrymandering proposal there. This is Texas legislator Ann Johnson, asked by a CBS reporter about Republican claims that Democrats are abandoning their jobs. Listen to her answer.
You know that Republicans in the state, Republicans out of the state, look at what you guys are doing and thinking you're running away from the fight. You're running away from your jobs by not being in Austin today.
Yeah, no. Abandoning your job is going to Cancun in the middle of a deadly freeze, right? Mm-hmm. Abandoning your job is cutting health care when people need access. Abandoning your job is cutting public education when we already have one of the worst education systems in the nation. What we are doing is the fundamental protection by our founding fathers in the Texas Constitution. When Donald Trump called Georgia Republicans and said, "I just need you to find me 11,000 votes," they said, "No, sir, that's a step too far." But when he called Texas Republicans and said, "I need you to steal me 5 seats," they said, "Does July work for you?" Well, it doesn't work for us as Texas Democrats.
And it shouldn't. Again, listen to that. He called Georgia, said, "I want you to dig up, find me 11,000 votes. I don't care how corrupt it is." And the Georgia Republicans said, "No, we can't do that." Texas, meanwhile, was like, "Sure, sure, boss, whatever it is that you want." Because what the boss wants, this party is willing to give him. And unfortunately, far too much of the national media is not holding Trump to account on this. As the New York Times article continued to go on about, you know, the White House changes that Trump wants, Katie Rogers did say this line: "A White House that is rapidly changing from the taxpayer-funded people's house to one that resembles one of the Louis XIV properties in Trump's portfolio." And I thought that was particularly telling because, yeah, this is a guy that wants to put a gaudy gilded ballroom attached to the White House to go with all of his other golden urns and baskets and coasters, and all of it has his last name. And that's all fine, but I'm going to close with this. And it's a social media post by an account labeled Big Texas, Big Tucson Dad. And he writes this: "Listen, man, if you want to live in the Palace of Versailles, that's fine. But you can't act surprised when the people eventually start sharpening the guillotine." We'll hear from Superior Mayor Jim Payne coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you this morning. When you get a big group of farmers together in one place, chances are that the weather and crop conditions are going to be a topic of conversation, and that's exactly what we were hearing yesterday during the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Award Breakfast at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good news on how the crops look around the state, both from the growers as well as the official crop progress report from USDA. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing joins us with an update on how Wisconsin's crop ratings are holding up against the national scene.
Yeah, crop ratings continue to stay strong. That's corn, 73% good to excellent nationally. Wisconsin's still holding in really well, 81% good to excellent. We got a great crop going here, at least in terms of how it looks at this time frame, just from talking to producers around the state. They keep echoing that sentiment. Soybeans, 69% good to excellent, kind of in line with what the market was thinking. Again, Wisconsin soybeans, 81% good to excellent.
Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Unfortunately, a good crop outlook isn't necessarily price supportive. On the close yesterday, grain markets were lower. We'll take a look at that next.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshake still means something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On the close yesterday, cash corn was down a nickel and a half at 381 and a half. December new crop corn down a nickel at 402 a bushel. Cash beans were down 3¾ cents at 971 and a half. November new crop beans down 3¾ at 990 and three quarters. And cash and new crop wheat is down 8½ cents at 508 and a quarter. Class 3 milk contracts saw a rally ahead of the overnight. That meant the 40-pound block cheese was 2¼ cents higher at $1.80¼. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. AA butter closed down 2¼ cents at $2.44 per pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. Scattered showers and storms tonight, lows around 67. Chance of showers and storms on your Thursday, could pick up some heavier rain at times, highs near 86. Friday, sunny and a high near 92 degrees.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndra Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
So we asked in our Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Should blue states match red states to offset gerrymandering? You know, what they're talking about in California right now is if Texas is going to steal five states or five seats in Congress through corrupt cartography, should California do the same or not sink to that level? Plenty of answers looking at the question from different perspectives coming into us. And you can get our question of the week first every Sunday by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and clicking subscribe in the top banner. Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to our friend Lou Ann Bird. She will tell us all about that town hall the other day with Congressman Brian Stile getting an earful. And again, I would contend that while people want to give props to Congressman Stile for holding an in-person town hall, he also tried to spew the same old garbage, you know, talking points about, you know, these things aren't actually cuts, et cetera, et cetera. You don't get points for holding the town hall if you're not going to be upfront about what it is that you did. So we'll talk to Lou Ann Bird about that tomorrow. Sherita Booker will talk about events coming up this weekend. Chad Holmes will be along. Joe Zepecki, Sean O'Malley will talk about your money and the markets and so much more all coming up. By the way, in terms of what's coming up this weekend, we know the Wisconsin State Fair is still going on. And Sherita tends to talk about some of the local festivities. Let me tell you about county fairs, because two of them start up today and run through Sunday. There's the Clark County Fair in Neillsville, the Lincoln County Fair in Merrill, and then starting tomorrow, the Bayfield County Fair in Washburn, the Pierce County Fair in Ellsworth, the Rusk County Fair in Ladysmith, and the Vilas County Fair in Eagle River. And then, I mean, all kinds of local festivals. There's Pure Water Days here in Chippewa Falls coming up this weekend, Irish Fest in La Crosse, there's a Burger Fest in Seymour. There's the Muskie Jamboree in Boulder Junction, and that's where we're going to transition here to hear from Superior Mayor Jim Payne, because when he was on the program yesterday, if you missed it during their 8 o'clock hour, I mentioned Boulder Junction because we'd done a story about that community, how a couple of years back, they worked for a way to gather grants and other funding to help essentially entice a private internet service provider to come to the area. They laid the fiber optic network, and now that company is able to provide internet service that Boulder Junction wouldn't have otherwise. I started by asking Mayor Payne the difference between what Boulder Junction was doing versus what they did in Superior with a network that is owned by the city itself. Here's what he said.
Well, we're certainly not the first to recognize the need for high-speed, reliable, and affordable access to the internet, but we're the first city in Wisconsin, the first community of any kind to create a publicly owned open access broadband network. There is no other network of our kind in Wisconsin. And it's a unique public-private partnership where we own the actual network, the physical network, and we sell internet access to private internet service providers who in turn sell it to customers. So they compete freely on our network the same way multiple delivery services, UPS, FedEx, US Postal Service compete on the roads that the city builds. So it combines public infrastructure with private competition.
And that, I'm glad to hear that explanation, because when I first heard about it, it made me wonder about a law that the Republican-led legislature passed several years ago that essentially was a ban on municipal networks, especially Wi-Fi networks, again, not wanting, you know, the public sector to compete with the private sector. A lot of people were upset by that, saying, hey, look, in some of these smaller communities, the private sector isn't coming up here anytime soon. They're only going to want to serve the big cities. So why block local units of government that want to provide this kind of service? It sounds like you have found the right path through of you're not the internet provider, but you have made it easier for the private sectors to come up here and extend service that they otherwise wouldn't do on their own. Does that sound about right?
Almost. The biggest difference is people don't have to come here to provide the internet. People are already here that can provide the internet. So because all we require people to do is be an ISP, they don't have to own this gigantic physical network, a multi-million dollar investment. That allows small businesses to go into business selling the internet to customers. So one of our first ISPs, it came from Duluth, Minnesota, right next door, and is now headquartered in Superior. It's a really small business. They only only serve this community on our network. So what we did is, rather than have a giant monopoly, which was what almost every city in the country has, selling us internet at whatever price they want, our monopoly Spectrum, they actually raised the price of the internet during the pandemic. That was a kind of, we just saw that as unconscionable. How can you exploit people that way? So what we did is we combined what I thought is the best of the political philosophies on the left and the right. We believe in private sector competition to lower prices and increase innovation, but the public should own infrastructure. We shouldn't allow the private sector to control infrastructure that is vital to modern life. And so that's what we did. We just combined the two, and we're 2 weeks in and it's already a hit.
And is it a network that is accessible to everybody in the Superior area now, or is it starting in one area and building out?
No, we started in a pilot area, one neighborhood. It's actually my neighborhood. I'm talking to you on it right now. And the so it was meant to show skeptics that this could actually work. One of the early successes, though, is our construction costs actually came in so far under budget that we're building out much faster than we had originally planned. So we will be lighting up the next neighborhood already this fall.
And how is it that the city was able to afford to do its part of this public-private partnership?
Joe Biden, really. The ARPA dollars that came to every community in the country. What a lot of people forget is that the ARPA dollars, which have been used for so many different things across the country, were primarily meant for utility infrastructure. And the first utility described in that law is access to broadband. And so we just took them at their word, and we used it to build a network. And so the first $5 million plus of this network was covered by that bill.
So President Biden had this American recovery plan and had a mission for it. And you took that literally and seriously and made it work. It sounds like perhaps the most textbook case of ARPA funds doing what they were intended to do at the time.
Exactly. In fact, we've been trying to build this network since before the pandemic, but the pandemic proved every single argument we made correct. When we had to send people home from work, send children home from school, and they did not have access to the internet, that meant they didn't go to school, Pat. That's what it meant. And people are still trying to pretend like that didn't happen. We lost a generation of kids that should have been educated and weren't because they didn't have access to this vital public infrastructure. The Biden administration gave us money to solve that problem, make sure that never happened again. And that's what we spent it on.
That's incredible. And you said another neighborhood is coming. How long do you think it might take for most, if not all, of the city to be served?
That's a political question. you asked me, I'd like to get it done in the next 2 years. But, you know, we have to prove that it's a success. I think we're already doing that. Like I said, we need to get to a 10% take rate. 10% of the area should be customers by the end of the year. I think we're going to cross that in the next month. And if we can show real success by the fall of next year, I think we'll have justified moving quite a bit faster than our original forecast of 5 to 7 years.
Superior Mayor Jim Payne with a great update from way up north. Jim, thank you so much. Good to talk to you again, Mr. Mayor. Have a wonderful day.
Always fun. Thanks, Pat.
And if you want to learn more about the story, if you want to look back at some of the things that he had to say, head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. It's the first story on our website right now, all about what they're doing in Superior and what President Biden's American Rescue Plan did for the country. And we'll just talk more about that again another time, because you don't need to hear that rant again, the difference between Joe Biden's investments and Donald Trump's cuts. Let me make one quick correction on the Brewers. The Brewers' lead over the Cubs in the division is 4 games. I was reading some old Associated Press copy that said the Brewers entered the game with a 3-game lead, but the Cubs then lost to the Reds, and so it is now a 4-game lead. From Jane and Madison on the text line, kudos to Superior. Their public infrastructure philosophy should be a model for all communities. Thank you for the message. Yes, couldn't agree more. Let's shift gears and talk about a story that I first noticed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written by Ariella Lopez. The headline, environmental law firm celebrates a win in public records dispute involving DNR's Fred Preen. He was, you'll recall, the member of the State Natural Resources Board whose term had expired, but he refused to step down. he seemed to have discovered this loophole that said, well, if the state Senate hasn't confirmed your replacement, you just stay on. But what if the state Senate doesn't have any intention of confirming the replacement? What if, say, Devin LeMahieu is the Senate Republican leader and the Democrat is now Tony Evers? The governor is a Democrat. What if the Republican state Senate makes it a habit not to confirm appointees? How would Fred Preen know that? Well, it turns out that there were text messages between him and Scott Walker and lobbyists and Devin LeMahieu and others. And those text messages came up as part of a court case with Midwest Environmental Advocates that had made a request as part of the discovery phase of a court case. And eventually, Preen released the text messages and the emails. They showed that there was this, for lack of a better term, and I don't think there is a better term, conspiracy on this to obstruct a sitting governor from being able to make the appointments that he or she has the right to make. They won the election, in this case, Tony Evers, and has the power to confirm. Power to appoint the Senate in abusing its power to confirm. And there's still something like 100 or more Governor Evers appointments who still haven't been confirmed. It's taking advantage of a loophole of the system. It's perverting the advise and consent process. Well, in the meantime, Midwest Environmental Advocates, as part of the lawsuit, also wanted damages, essentially to have, you know, the legal bills paid. And the initial court said no. But now that has changed. An appeals court has ruled that the group can seek relief in a lawsuit that was originally filed in October of 2021 against Preen, the DNR, the Natural Resources Board. And so the attorneys for that environmental group say that, you know, there's a reason they pursued this. It's not just to have their legal bills paid. Their attorney, Rob Lee, said in a news release, "The ability to recover attorney's fees is vital for journalists and for other groups and individuals who are forced to take legal action to secure their rights under the public records law." And it gets us to this notion of things that we take for granted. I mean, the biggest of which is democracy. Don't get me wrong. Too many people are definitely taking democracy for granted in this country. But the same goes for public records. And the same goes for paying the bill if you're obstructing public access to those records. That is real damage. And had MEA not been allowed to look for legal relief in court the way that they are able to now, it simply would have emboldened more politicians later on to stall, to run out the clock on appointments, on public records requests, on doing the things that voters expect them to do. So this is a very positive development that we hope is one more step in returning norms to a process where voters can again trust the people who are both elected and appointed to serve them in state government. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.
Welcome to today's history lesson. This, of course, would be The Contours from 1962, but we're mentioning it at the top of today's history lesson because it peaked on the charts again on this day in 1988 because it was on the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, of course. Today's history lesson on a Wednesday, as always, includes Melissa Kay. Yes, she's here from WFHR, WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. And Lilu, I assume the pigeon is somewhere just off camera.
Melissa,
Good morning.
They're hanging over there. Good morning.
Okay. Melissa also put up a social media reel of Lilu getting their nails trimmed and basically just being the whole process. I mean, you looked, it reminded me a lot of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, and just the way that you would approach and then catch it. And you're saying all the right sweet things to it. Like, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you. And, you know, that's my worst Australian accent ever. But, you know.
There was an Australian accent in there.
Like the crocodile hunter, you were there to take care of it. And that was a beautiful thing. It was a nice reel that you put together.
Thank you. Yeah.
Things going well so far
with Lee? Yeah. I actually put up a second reel about them exploring their pigeon playpen.
Yes.
Because I built a little area here for them to come out and be out. And yeah, now they're mad at me for touching them. They're mad for being on social media. I'm not sure.
But I don't know if it's a social media because, after all, Lilu's first appearance was 1 week ago on this very radio show when Lilu started flapping around to the music. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's get back to today's history lesson. Chubby Checker performed this hit of his for the first time this day in 1960. The song, of course, would go to number one and start a huge dance craze this day in 1960 when he did it for the first time on Dick Clark's Saturday Night Beechnut Show. This week in 1981, Stevie Nicks released her first solo album, Belladonna, apart from her work with Fleetwood Mac.
Just like the wide awake.
How did that work with Lilu by talking about the white winged dove? Anything?
I always thought she said one winged dove.
I thought too, and I thought no.
That, I think we joked about that on this show.
Many times. A bird flying in circles with one wing. Nothing from Lilu. All right. Belladonna. Big first solo album for Stevie Nicks. It had Stop Dragging My Heart Around, Leather and Lace, and more. Happy birthday to Jerry Halwell. You know her best as Ginger Spice. She is 53 today. Let's also wish a happy birthday to singer-songwriter Pat McDonald. He was the co-founder of the group Timbuk 3 and born in Green Bay this day in 1951. He formed the duo with his then-wife Barbara K. McDonald in Madison in 1984. And, of course, that was part of their big hit, The Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades. It won them the 1987 Grammy for Best New Artist. In 2005, he co-founded Steelbridge Songfest, an annual not-for-profit benefit concert and songwriting festival that's held in his hometown of Sturgeon Bay. And 10 years ago today, Broadway was rocked by a new hip-hop-infused musical based on the life of one of our founding fathers. And Leslie Odom Jr., who played Aaron Burr in Hamilton, is 44 years old today. Melissa, getting back to what's happening, there's got to be more going on in Wisconsin Rapids, but besides the adventures of Lilu, what are you guys working on up there?
We're gearing up for our 85th anniversary with a parking lot party. We're pulling out all the stops. We got food trucks. We got, like, dessert trucks. We got park games for the kids. We might even have like some axe throwing and some VR inside going on. But the big thing that we're doing is we're gathering recipes because we're going to, from listeners, we're going to recreate our cookbook. We're going to recreate, we've done this over the years, I guess. And with our 85th anniversary coming up in November, we're collecting the recipes now to put them in our cookbook. And we're having a staff dessert cook-off that people get to come and try our desserts and vote on the winner.
I love it. And again, this is not a big thing anymore, but boy, radio and some TV stations, I'm sure, but back in the day, when you put together that annual cookbook, I mean, it was a big deal in the community. Yeah. People wanted to know, what is Edna making there around the corner? They finally got to see what was in her, you know, hash brown casserole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there was some apple pie in the hash brown cat, whatever was in there. They had to make it work.
Now, savory sweet.
Yep, exactly. See, you get it. 85 years of service to the community. Yep. That is just amazing that we're getting to that point now with radio stations.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And a lot of our listeners have been listening like since they were kids.
That's
like I remember mom listening to Over the Back Fence while I'm sitting drinking coffee. And
oh, sure. Yeah. Yep. It's nice to be bringing back more of that local community radio where, you know, Civic Media has really been a leader in that in communities all over Wisconsin. And so nice that you're doing that, Melissa.
The other fun thing, the kids can come and be a radio announcer.
Oh, ooh, love it.
That's awesome.
Do they get like a little Panasonic tape recorder like I used to talk into all the time as a kid?
They get a USB wristband.
Okay, that works.
With their recording on it.
All right. It's also today's National Root Beer Float Day. This is Jamaica's Independence Day. And this is Clutter Awareness Day. So, Melissa, be aware of the clutter around Lilu today.
I'm aware.
We're very, very aware. Thank you. Have a wonderful day and a great party.
You too.
All right.
Thanks.
More coming up here on these mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 50 Texas Democrats remain AWOL from Austin, refusing to vote on a new map of the state's congressional districts. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The congressional map is not linked to presidential races. Instead, it's usually tied to the once-a-decade census. Still, the president pushing for a new Texas map to give Republicans 5 new seats in Congress. But a vote can't happen without Democrats present, and dozens have fled the state. Texas Governor Abbott has already threatened to arrest them. Now he's calling on the state Supreme Court to remove the top Democrat, Gene Wu, from office.
Gene Wu telling ABC News those seats do not belong to Donald Trump. They belong to the American people. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy pulling $500 million in funding for vaccines that are developed using mRNA technology. Sources say Vice President J.D. Vance is expected to host top administration officials tonight for a strategy session on the Epstein files. This is ABC News.